Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Are you a trust fund baby? I smirk as I say this because maybe you don't consider yourself to be one, but you just might be, even though there might not be a trust fund. But what there is taking place at this particular time and through the last few years is a significant transference of wealth. Consider this. Baby boomers, those well into their 60s and 70s, are individuals who have worked hard for years on end. And over some time, through savings in their pension, their investment into properties and other interests that they might have, they've managed to amass a significant amount of wealth. Now, clearly, due to death being a guarantee in life, this wealth is typically then passed on to their children, who would fall into the Gen X generation or even millennials. And even more so, Gen Zs, who might form part of their grandchildren within their wealth creation and division strategy. So how does this then influence the dynamics that we need to understand around financial advice and the partnerships and alliance that needs to grow in terms of financial knowledge between baby boomers, their children and their grandchildren? Razik Christians joins us now as Executive for Retail Distribution at PPS Investments. Razik, thank you so much for your time.
Gugu, thanks so much for having me on your show.
This conversation makes me so excited because a large majority of the time our conversations are focused on creating wealth, generating wealth, and then preserving that wealth. But once you've preserved it and you've enjoyed some of it, and then you decide, you know what, I'd like to share this wealth, wealth transference is critical, but also a very sensitive dynamic that needs to be handled. Talk to us about where we are now over the next decade with regard to wealth transference and just how significant it is between baby boomers, millennials and Gen Zs.
I must tell you, it's quite an interesting topic at the moment. And it has been maybe for the last few years in particular. Mm-hmm. I think many of us don't even really realize how that cash transfers from generation to generation. It's just kind of inherent in how we live our lives nowadays. But when we look at the stats, I mean, there's in the US, trillions of dollars are going to be moving through those different generations. Sure. And that very impact is hitting SA at the moment too. So I do think that there's so much of wealth that's actually moving from generation to generation. And I think one of the important aspects is also to understand how those different generations actually react to money, how they save, what their habits are. Things like the thought of retirement. And I can tell you from my personal experience where I live in a house with four different generations. Mm-hmm. So my mother's thought process around how she saved up for retirement, which is very, very linear, very simple, studied, worked, but basically retired at the moment. Where myself, I have a very different view on how I'm going to be retiring. It's a very different journey and path. And the part that really interests me is how do we actually now look at being able to firstly use the wealth that is transferred to you, also be able to incorporate that in how you retire successfully, and those challenges that we all face in retirement as well, because that's another planning process that is not an easy task.
Yeah. Razik, this gets me so excited because you're right. Let's go into that thinking between the different generations. Many of us, when we consider baby boomers, and I think of my grandmother, my parents, you work for one institution for decades on end. You are disciplined in planning and saving for your retirement. And then at some point you reach retirement and you enjoy the fruits of your labor. And myself as a millennial, I'm in a completely different career in comparison to what they had exposure to earlier on. And my niece, who's a Gen X, is completely open in terms of the career opportunities that are available to her. And maybe let's just contextualize how we think about money, the general themes that have been persistent across the different generational lines.
Yes, if we look at those different generations, right? I mean, the one thing we do know is that, firstly, the different types of financial literacy between those generations are also quite vastly different, in all honesty.
Mm.
And we find when it comes to baby boomers and me personally, I'm a Gen X, but those two generations tend to have a far better understanding about the importance of saving and saving for the retirement in particular. Where when we look at potentially maybe your Gen Zs and the millennial side, it's a lot more about being able to save in a more different dynamic way of being able to do things. They are very AI relevant. They know how to use technology. they know how to find information just by using things like TikTok, all these different financial influencers that are out there, being able to provide them with so much different bits of information. The worry that I do sit with in that regard is, how relevant is that information to your actual personal life? And I think that where we definitely find a gap in the different generations is that maybe our younger generations are not that keen on necessarily speaking to the financial advisors to really help them in being able to save one day properly for how they ever plan to retire and which way they do it. Mm-hmm. That part for me, I think, is a critical aspect we need to always focus on both ends.
You're so right. And making sure that there is, yes, whilst we've got access now to information through different softwares and platforms and technology, but we do need to make sure that we underscore it with professional advice, where there's care, there's diligence and accountability to be held, right, when you are investing. I think this is also peculiar to what we are seeing, not only from a generational shift, but also the gender dynamic. And what you're highlighting hits so close to home, because I think of my grandmother who is turning 91 in November, and as you can imagine, been in retirement for more than 30 years, right? And that speaks to a key theme around women living longer, having to save for retirement appropriately and accordingly. And I guess that discipline also needing to be shared with younger generations to understand that we could also live a little bit longer than 91. So how do we adequately prepare for that?
Very true. I mean, I work at PPS Investments, and we are mutual business, and our whole philosophy is really about shared success, being able to really help our members be able to live the lives they want to live in a world worth living. And one of the big things we find when we do research on our member base, which is our graduate professional market, is that they live on average 10 to 15 years longer than the average South African. Now, you already quoted some scary numbers there, right? Mm. But just the thought process of realizing, so let's assume you start working, you go to university, you start working, you work for 40 years or so, you retire typically at 65, and now you realize that you're still going to need to be in retirement and have enough money saved up for at least another 40 years. And if you're a female, you're going to probably live a little bit longer than that as well, because our females definitely outlive our males. I always tell our professional females, mm-hmm. I hope you started saving early because you're going to need it. And how we think about that process, I think, is so important that we actually realize that maybe the journey is going to be slightly nuanced, because lots of people look at retirement now in a very different view, where mm-hmm. they stop working earlier, they do consulting work or look at some kind of side hustle, or many people even live longer. Yeah. Work a little bit longer, but not necessarily in their chosen field, because they'd love to potentially rather do some philanthropic work or, you know, provide that impact into the community, being able to really give back. That purpose becomes very, very important in our different generations, especially the younger ones, as they want to move forward, which I think is absolutely brilliant for our country.
Yeah, I've been hearing that they're calling it a portfolio of careers now, right? No longer is it about retirement, but yes. What's your next career after 65? Mm. And Razik, this makes for interesting dinner table conversations, right? Because ultimately what we're trying to influence here is not only the financial decisions we take, but the information that fuels those financial decisions. So for anyone who, with family, with loved ones, with their partners, you know, how should we then be engaging around wealth transference from an intergenerational point of view, and the options around the knowledge that we gain around money, the solutions that we implement, and most importantly, the discipline required to see the long-term outcomes? Because the truth is, no baby boomer wants to see a millennial buy a red sports car only to lose the money in a year's time, right?
Definitely. I mean, I would honestly say, I think the importance of the relationship with the parents as they move through, because it typically moves husband to wife to kids. That relationship as a unit, the family unit, is so important. I mean, we have small things in our being able to invest as a family, for example, and the importance of that is about your intergenerational wealth, but also the relationship with the financial advisor mm-hmm. as that money moves from, let's assume, husband, and because we know the wife's going to probably live a little bit longer, so it'll move over there. But he needs to have a relationship with all those different generations, the kids too, so that he can be part of helping them actually facilitate the next generation's retirement process and how that changes and nuances. So I would say one of the most important things that families probably need to do is, as a collective in that unit, actually speak about the finances, make sure that when you are interacting with your financial advisor, that all of your families there so that there's a lot more perspective around how to actually interact with money coming your way and being able to plan properly and accordingly.
Definitely. Oh, Razik, this is such a critical conversation and one that does need to continue because the consequences are far-reaching. Whether someone falls ill in the family, death occurs. And we know money at times even leads to conflict for various family members. And this also speaks to the important role of adequate estate planning, right? And the need to speak to a financial advisor and planner who can actually guide you on this journey.
It's a very, very important part of actually how we survive nowadays. We're going to live till 100.
Exactly. So next time we have a family lunch, no longer is it just about the family gossip, but more so about, hey, how do we manage our money going forward? Razik, thank you so much for your time.
Brilliant.
This has been fantastic.
Thanks so much for having me on your show. Really appreciate the time chatting today.
Thank you. Executive for Retail Distribution at PPS Investments, Razik Christians, joining us there to really edge us on to reconsider the conversations we have around wealth.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfupi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.